Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hey.
Today we're going to be playing 8-Minute Empire, designed by Ryan Lockett of Near and Far, Above and Below, Isle Bound, Empires of the Void. The artist is Ryan Lockett of all the same games.
Yep.
It's published by Red Raven Games.
And our customary, damn you, Ryan Lockett, and all of your talent.
Yep. Art, design, rules, Ryan Lockett.
Yeah, his own publishing company, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, does he own Red Raven?
Yeah,
he owns Red Raven.
Yeah. 8-Minute Empire by Ryan Lockett. Yeah, we know. Okay. It's a quick game that implements the civilization exploration theme by using card-driven area control by placing armies and cities on a small map. And set collecting by getting resources from the board and the cards. Players spread through the map in order to collect points at the end of the game by having majorities in regions and continents. All actions, such as land or sea movement, army production, or the founding of cities, are driven by cards that are face-up, six at a time, and by available and increasing prices. Cards also contain resources, which give points when the game ends if properly collected. The mechanics are area majority influence, area movement, card drafting, and set collection. The box is a sort of cartoony galleon style, or perhaps a caravel. I'm not sure.
All solid boat choices.
Sailing in some sort of maybe Caribbean style or Pacific style ocean with some mountainous islands in the background and some sort of giant sea snake dragon swimming along with the boat. Very colonial style artwork.
I was going to say that the mountains have a very like, because Ryan Lockett has definitely like his art style has like more swoopy, like curvy lines to it. So like you could definitely tell that's like more his art style.
The art reminds me of an historical bit in when you said colonial style to it. If you read part of Columbus's first letter or his letter after his first voyage, he talks about how.
He got lost?
No, because he didn't think he was lost.
Makes it worse.
Right. Anyway, we're not talking about Columbus, except that in his letter, he does mention that he had not encountered any sea monsters.
Oh. That's always good. That's the first thing I'd put in the letter. Still no sea monsters.
Yeah. Haven't found what we're looking for, but nobody's eaten us, so.
Doing good. Based off all this, would you pull it off shelf?
I think I would, but not necessarily for the art. The title draws me like 8-Minute Empire. So is this game designed to be exactly 8 minutes long or intended to be 8 minutes long? I think that's what would draw me to pick it up. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know. Personally, like I do. Like, I mean, once you mention like Ryan Lockett and then the other games, like I might be a little bit more intrigued, but I also am like, how many more Empire Civilization games does the world need? The idea of it, if it were 8 minutes, like would be, I mean, that's the opposite of what most right civilization games are, right? In that it would be short as opposed to 8 hours, which I feel like is what more of those civilization games tend towards. I mean, although a sea dragon.
This is of the Ryan Lockett or the Red Raven games. This has probably not been one of the ones I'm most interested in. The art's obviously nice. Yeah. But like BB said, like how many more empire builders do you need? Like, I don't know that it can be done well in 8 minutes, but like Huey, I'm kind of intrigued at how it's going to try to play it. So, I mean, it's an intriguing game. But it's never jumped out at me as something like, yeah, I want to go play that one compared to like most of his other games. So, and then that description was really dry and boring. So, that didn't win me over either. Like it doesn't seem very thematic based on the name. 8-Minute Empire doesn't sound that thematic. And then that description didn't come off very thematic, which is surprising considering Red Raven games are usually very thematic. So, yeah. I'm curious, but. This is why I haven't played it yet, is because it didn't jump out at me like most of his other games. How do you think it's played, BP, in 8 minutes?
In 8 minutes. Well, so armies blocking off sections to compete for resources. I don't know, which makes me just think of Risk.
Yep.
How do you play Risk in 8 minutes?
You can't. Oh, you can. You pull it out and then you put it away.
I don't even know if you can set it up in 8 minutes.
Because you can't even set it up in 8 minutes. Yeah, there's no way.
I mean, so I guess we could knock out the basics of every civilization builder. There's going to be a map. We're going to put things down that control them, like cities, which is the area of influence. Mm-hmm. We're going to control a region. There will be armies that'll help us control a region. We're going to move stuff around the map.
Mm-hmm. How do we gain points?
It's set collection. So sets of.
Okay. So we want sets of different types of resources, I'm supposing, because unless you want a monopoly of one type of resource, right? Like how China had a monopoly on silk forever. Yeah.
It's probably going to be very, like, you know, you want some of each resource or something. Mm-hmm. And that'll be cards that we draft. Mm-hmm. And then we'll probably have resource cards that, like, are points for that. And then there'll be, like, city cards and army cards. Yeah. We'll play stuff on regions and try to control regions kind of thing.
Yep. And block off other people.
Yep. So it might play a little bit like, what was that? Blue Lagoon, where you kind of like block people from regions and stuff. So some of that. All right. BP, the history of empires that only lasted for 8 minutes.
I mean, many, I'm sure. Obviously, some of the ones that lasted longer are easier to recall. Not to get too dry, but so just thinking about this game and then thinking about how when we looked at the artwork, we went more for Eastern and Western hemispheres, right? Connecting, like, what's interesting to me in the idea of the history of organizations, of people, and especially power and authority, is that empires actually did arise in various parts of the world, in very, like, sometimes similar factions, but with, like, different types of tweaks. But in general, it was a political organization that functioned by and large for most of the ancient world. The thing that then wraps this back up is to 1492 is that you will see some shifts, and that has to do with really the shifts in economics that takes place after the East and West hemispheres are brought in together. But before that, you would have, you know, the basic kind of idea of an empire is this idea of, right, controlling a region that has, you know, multi-ethnic, multilingual, diverse peoples in it that you are bringing into one political element. And in most of these early ancient civilization empires, the government, right, the emperor, the imperial machine, if you will, would control and monopolize the most, you know, precious industries, right? So for China, once cast iron became, right, a thing, like controlling the whole iron ore industry and iron manufacturing, you know, just those types of things, but for the benefit then of almost a redistribution center. So it wasn't as probably disruptive as then, like, these newer forms of imperialism that really subjugate, right, people to someone ruling from far and away, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, while obviously the idea of, like, you know, the government controlling and monopolizing your biggest money-making source sounds from our modern perspective, right, really horrible. From an ancient perspective, it was just kind of a way to provide for large groups of people under one mechanics. It's just interesting to think then that those did occur at various places around the world, right? Like the Mayans, the Aztecs, right? The Incas all formed in the Americas, right? Differing types of empires. In the Western Hemisphere, I mean, you have, like, I mean, from almost the get-go of civilization, Hammurabi is like 1800 BCE, and he's already building upon traditions that had been in place before that. You know, the Shang dynasties and all of that. I mean, China itself dates itself from a little bit later, but you have earlier dynasties than the Qin dynasty in China as well. And that those same types of functionalities is who's controlling the resources, how are they controlling that? How effectively are they providing routes, again, for trade and economic systems like we've talked about? So there you go. a little bit of a dry history, but kind of also fascinating that the idea of empire is almost as old as civilization itself, but weren't always seen as negative until about 1500.
The Empire of Vietnam lasted for 4 months.
Oh, he was Googling the shortest empire. Huh. Was it an empire?
It was a puppet one during World War II, set up by Japan.
That was the shortest empire you could find.
Yeah.
Okay, so the game is going to be played over a series of rounds until the end is triggered. The end is going to be triggered based on the number of cards collected for each player based on player count. So for a three-player game, it's going to be 10 cards. So essentially, the game is going to last for 10 rounds. The player with the most victory points is then the winner. Players will gain victory points by having the most armies in a region, the most regions on a continent, and for goods collected. Players will bid to choose the first player. So everyone's going to start with 8 coins, and essentially it is a blind bid to see who is going to be the first player. The player who bids the most puts their coins back in the supply. The players who lost keep their bid. If there is a tie, the youngest player breaks the tie.
Ugh, that sucks.
Yep. And then the winner will then choose. They don't go first. They choose who will go first, which is interesting. Okay, so starting with the first player and going clockwise, players will take turns taking one of the face-up cards at the top of the board, and they will pay the appropriate coin cost, and that's 0 to 3. And printed on the board, there's a 0, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3. So the card that is furthest left, is free, essentially. Furthest right is 3 coins. You will then pay the cost, and then each of the cards is going to provide you 2 things. It's going to have a resource at the top of the card, and it's going to have at the bottom card, it's going to have an action. And there's about 5 different actions that you could have. So one of the actions is you can place new armies on the map, and that icon just looks like a couple of cubes. The number of cubes is the number of armies that you get to place, and you can put them anywhere where you have an army or a city already on the map. You can then move armies, and it's going to look like a couple of cubes with an arrow, and the number of cubes is the number that you can move, and you can split it up between as many as you want. So if you have 3 cubes on there, you essentially get 3 movement points. You could move one army 3 spaces. You could move 3 armies 1 space. You could even move one army 2 spaces and another army 1 space, as long as it doesn't go above 3. And that's land only. And then another one is going to have an arrow that points to a boat, and you could do land or sea. So on the map, there's a couple of blue dotted lines that go in between the continents. You would need to do the movement over sea in order to cross those paths, basically. You can build a city. You can put it anywhere where you have an army, even if another player has a city there already. And then finally, you can destroy an army. It's going to be a cube with a red slash through it, and you can destroy an army anywhere on the map. You just take it off and give it back to the player. There will also be some that will say and or. So if it's an or, you pick one or the other action, and if it's and, you do all the other action. You also don't have to do the action, so you could take the card specifically for the resource. In the middle of the card, it will tell you how many points you get for a set. So each of the sets of resources, it'll be like, if you have one of this resource, this is how many points you get. 2 of the resource, that's how many points you can get.
So are you going more for monopolies versus like one of each?
Yeah, so you would want to collect up because you'll get more points for having more of a set. So the game ends when each player collects a number of cards based on player count. So for 3 players, it's 10 cards. You will get 1 victory point for each region that you control, and you're controlling it by have the most armies. If there's a tie, nobody controls it. Nobody gets the point. Each of the continents, it's pretty clearly delineated on the map. So if you control the most regions in a continent, you will get a victory point. Again, if it's a tie, nobody gets the victory point. And then you'll get victory points based on your sets of goods. The first tiebreaker is the person with the most coins. The second tiebreaker is most armies on the board. And the final tiebreaker is the most controlled regions. So good on Ryan Lockett for having tons of tiebreakers. And that is essentially how we play 8-Minute Empire.
Well, let's play. We'll be right back.
just finished a game of 8 Minute Empire. To recap, BP had 11 Empire points. I had 12 Empire points, and Kiwi won with 18 Empire points. Winning strategy, Kiwi.
Just trying to spread out. Just spread out, get as many regions as I could. Yeah. Because that's where I got all my
biggest
points.
Empire.
Yeah. So you had you had 13 on Empire or on your zone control, right? And then you had 7 on set collection stuff.
Yep. No, I only had 2 on set collection.
Whereas BP and I did better on the set collection.
Yeah.
Even though I guess we thought we didn't. I don't know. What was your strategy, BP?
Oh, right. So I really didn't start off with one, but then started to figure out I needed, I thought I needed to protect myself after you took away my one thing. So it was reactive. It was a defensive strategy.
Her initial strategy was to get onto my land and...
Yeah.
And you still actually didn't... And guess whose region it actually ended up being by the end.
Yeah. Well, that's because my strategy was to build up my large army and then never get any movement cards. So they just sort of sat there. That was my plan.
That was the only remove army card we saw the whole...
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one remove army card. Our early game, we got a bunch of movement cards and then... no cities. And then late game, we had a lot of cities, which is the opposite of how useful they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was one where BP had to choose one or the other, city or remove an army.
Yeah.
Oh, and I chose city.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the theme?
I feel like with most of these games, it felt like, yes, Empire, like area control, that type of idea. As far as like the other aspects of Empire, meh, or civilization, meh, but.
Yeah, territory control, part of Empire building. Otherwise, it's supposed to be an 8 minute game. So I guess there can't be too much beyond that, but.
Yeah, exactly. Because when I think empires, there's a lot more than just like, I have people on this land.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot more. I think this is a hard theme to try and get in such a short time frame.
I feel like there's other themes that would solve that of like, hey, things that take up an area. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but like bacteria in a petri dish competing over like spots or something.
That actually
viruses.
Sounds,
yeah.
I actually like that idea.
But yeah. So, I mean, theme wise, it doesn't exactly, for an 8 minute, I think it was ambitious to try to capture an empire experience in 8 minutes.
Which I feel like is what he was going for.
Art, what'd you think of the art?
I mean, you can see where it has the inklings, right? The little links to the others. But I feel like, again, I feel like with the idea that was put into it of being 8 minutes, that it was also going for like miniature. And so like the art just is meh. And if Kiwi hadn't explained what some of the things meant, like, I mean, like kind of annoying things is that, right? Like with components, for instance, right? Is that there's some uniqueness to the components when you're talking about how they represent what they're supposed to represent. And when we were first looking at the cards, I'm like, really? Like, what's the cubes for? I don't get it. Oh, your army's cubes. Like, what? Like, I don't know. It turned out to just be cube moving game. You know what I mean? And like the art, we were confused at the end on scoring of what kind of represented what. I don't know. I just feel like for his other games that just feature so much unique art that this really lacked in that department.
Yeah. I was going to say that this game really does not show off his art ability at all.
We can see with some of the little icons are like cool for icons, you know, the tree and stuff look better than probably like a standard icon. But yeah, like it doesn't capture like the style of the other games. You can definitely tell this was like one of his first games, I feel like. Yeah, I mean, the art's still decent, but it could be. We know it could be better. I think that's the other thing. We're also comparing it to what we know it could be.
Right.
It doesn't quite match of like, you know, above and below and Rome and stuff like that. Mechanics, Kiwi?
So I liked the, I mean, I'm a fan of multi-use cards. So the choices between, you know, do I want this for the resource or do I want this for the action? So that kind of came up a little bit, but I think for the most part, all three of us chose things for the actions and not necessarily for the resource that it was, especially since I was confused about how the set collection went anyway. So I made some action choices based on that. But for the most part, like if the action didn't work for me, I didn't pick that card.
Yeah. I had one round where I had to pick an action that didn't do anything for me. And it was very, it makes for a disappointing round when you don't get an action. So like mechanically, that's just not generally very as fun when you have to like basically feel like you wasted a turn. I feel like it was a little like the mechanics are a little bit too luck based for a game like this. Like, where you don't have a lot of money, so you're kind of limited on what cards you want to pick.
I was going to bring that up too, because then I could sometimes just wait, knowing no one else had a lot of money either, and counting like where I was in position to gaining a particular card that I might want.
And then like you just have like, okay, well, everything you can buy is all like things that you really don't need. So you just sort of take something. It felt a little too, I mean, you know, games all have varying degrees of luck, but this felt like a game that should have probably less luck based. I guess my biggest complaint is the drafting mechanic, I guess. It kind of felt like you didn't have a lot of choices, and a lot of times there were no good choices, at least for me. Like I said, I just had this giant army sitting in my capital city because like I never got any movement cards after like the first couple rounds.
Yeah, especially since you can't get coins. There's no way to get coins. So like there's a management piece, and I spent a lot of coins to get first player, not knowing like, I have no idea. I'm just going to bid this much.
Yeah. I spent a lot on early cards too. Not a lot. The thing is like, you don't have to spend a lot. You just kind of one poor choice kind of can derail you. Rules. I mean, I think on the learning end, it was easy enough to pick up, right? BP. After once we figured out what the tokens meant.
Yeah. And I think that's what the whole, And then knowing that you could remove a cube from anywhere. I don't know.
Yeah. I also think we messed up. I think the starting city, I think we were all supposed to start where I started.
Oh.
Those triangles are for an alternate play thing where the tokens off to the side for the resources, they would go face down on those triangles. And if you reach them, you would get that token, which could then get added to your set of whatever it was.
So I guess getting to the rule book, it seems like it was not very good.
No, it wasn't. So I think this is early on. I think, the rule book was a little rough. I probably should have watched a video to go with it, but I felt like I understood it.
Yeah.
And as we played through, it was like, okay, maybe I didn't understand it as well as I thought I did based on how I read the rules. The big one being the set collection, I interpreted it differently, but then when I reread the rule, it was like, no, I just read that rule poorly.
Yeah. For such a kind of simple game, we seemed like we got a lot wrong.
I made a lot of mistakes.
Placing armies, starting city, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The other mistake I made was, the armies could only be placed at new armies at cities or the starting location. And we had started with putting armies where other armies were, but that was a mix up with the city. The city could go where an army was. So, yeah, I think that's indicative of the rule book itself.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Player interaction, I guess it's there. But I didn't.
I feel like it's also one of those meh ones. Like, yes, we had to see where people were going, but like at the same time, like how much even between all of us did we really try to intrude on any other person's region?
Yeah. But I think there might have been a little more interaction had we all started in the same place. We kind of spread out, which made it less interaction. Mm-hmm. But even then, there aren't many the only interaction you get is taking somebody's card, which I think never happened. There wasn't that was the card I wanted moment, which you get with like other drafting or action selection type games.
Right.
We didn't see that at all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the big interaction would be like competing over a spot with more armies. But even though I think the choices you were so, because of the lack of money and the drafting, you're almost confined to like the three cards of the early spots, unless there was something you really needed. But even that still won't be in the early game. I feel like, again, you're just going to pick the card that is the thing that you need, not so much, oh, how can I, what are they doing? How can I affect their game? It's just like, well, I, of the three, this is the only one that's going to help me right now. So I'm going to take that card. Would you play it again, BP?
No. There's so many more, like, I don't know, resource competitive card game things.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd play Risk over this, but.
I'm with BP. I wouldn't play this again. I think area influence. I think generally when we play games like this or the area influence type, I think we said the same thing with Blue Lagoon. We'd rather play Bosque. Just the theme and the idea and the board and presence of Bosque. It's so pretty. Yeah. So I think I'd rather play Bosque. And if I wanted to stay with a shorter, lighter Ryan Lockett game, I would probably play Rome. Mm-hmm. The game with the putting the patterns and stuff on the map and trying to find the tools and the people. I would play that instead if I wanted. Plus, the art in that is way more prominent because you have all the people and the map pieces. This was just, knowing that it was one of his first games, like it kind of all fits. But yeah, I definitely would not play it again.
Yeah. I mean, I was to say, well, if, now that we know the rules, we could play it again since it's a short game, but even then I don't want to do it. So it's bland. Like I will say I'd play it over probably some other empire building games just because it's shorter.
I would play it over Risk if those were my two choices and I had to sit down and play a game. Yes.
I don't think we in general love a lot of these area control, area influence games. Yeah. Like we do like Bosque, but we've played some other ones that just didn't really click as well for us. So this also just might not be so much our style, but.
Yeah, I think the empire building, just because like we recognize some of the stuff, like the bad stuff that comes behind it. Whereas like the theme of Bosque, like even though it's a similar type game in terms of like area majority, the theme is just.
Yeah, the theme itself is not something that just already attracts us, right? It's not fun and light, like, hey, let's go diving for treasure or let's go racing across, you know, a track or something like that. It comes embedded with some sort of, I don't know, competition level that's just not what we're interested in.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, we had the same thing with Empires of the North where like, we kind of didn't really feel like it was even really an Empire game. It was more of just
Imperial Settlers is what we played.
Yeah, Imperial Settlers is what I was thinking. Imperial Settlers,
yeah, that one. Yeah, so Imperial Settlers, like it didn't really even come out. Like, why did they theme it as Empire, when it didn't really need to be? And I feel like this is the same way. Like, it doesn't even feel like Empires. It feels more like just like, you know, armies. Like Risk doesn't come off as like an Empire game because it's just a war game. This is more of like a small regional war game or something, like
without the war portions of it.
Yeah.
Again, it's one of those games where I'm like, why'd you even go with this theme? Other than it's just the whole people trying to want to make a good civilization style game kind of thing.
So I was thinking when you guys were talking too about Empire games and resources, and I mean, think, okay, Settlers of Catan, still super popular, right? Like it was out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At that point in time. Yeah. And I feel like that has even more of that sense of area control and resource control and empire building than this did. I don't know. It was just when we were talking about it, it just struck me like, okay, so it's an older game. How would it have played in this like kind of, I don't know, pre-Bonanza that I feel like
we're in? So in a quick comparison, Eclipse came out the year before.
Oh, okay. Never mind that.
Robinson Crusoe came out the same year.
Oh, such a good game.
And the year after, Caverna came out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Never mind. So there we go.
Hold on. Through the Ages was 2015. And that's the top civilization builder. Yeah. I mean, I think it's hit or miss. I think if you tried to design a 10-minute empire builder game today, like it's a good attempt, but I think that's a extremely hard challenge to accomplish in general. So, I mean, I get where it was going. I think like things like the drafting mechanism would probably be done differently. I feel like that's kind of the area that has, you know, made a lot of change because there's so many card drafting games that that's kind of come a long way. So that could be a more interesting sort of drafting mechanism. So I think areas like that, it could probably boost, but the core concept I think would probably be the same today if you were to try to build a 10 minute empire builder. So this is 8 minute empire. Go play above and below or near and far.
Yeah.
Or Rome. Or if you want a shorter game.
Yeah. I think there's other good choices.
So if you have any Empire games, short games, or any sorts of comments for us, we would love to hear from you. And you can email us at firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Or we're on Twitter and Instagram at firstturncast. And the podcasting camel says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games!
Where'd your other army go?
He took it away!
He took it away!
Sure, Kiwi's gonna win because we're gonna fight each other because you can only move onto my land and I don't like that.
Ooh, a double carrot.